Couple stories here today. Stuff happening in the world. Stuff happening in technology. Kick it off. Apple making news, making headlines. Apple to require employee proof of COVID-19 booster. This comes via The Verge, although we're reading it on Reuters because Will didn't say the word Reuters in a while.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I guess this is controversial for the moment, in the sense that, well, there's a split. Not everyone agrees on these things. I mean, that's kind of typically the case with anything, isn't it? Differing points of view, whether or not an employer should be involved in such things. I mean, it's a private company. As people have increasingly gone back to work and are no longer working at home, there's restrictions going into place as far as what kind of vaccines or what kind of documentation around those vaccines and or what kind of testing and all this stuff going on. I haven't heard much about the booster stuff. Like, looking for the booster stuff is pretty new, especially considering the fact that, I mean, there seems to be data emerging that the booster might not be, like, crazy effective. I mean, there's at least there's some studies that seem to be implying that. Also, I'm sure there's plenty of studies implying the alternative as well, saying boost yourself to oblivion, boost yourself all the way to the moon. Like, that's out there too.
There's always extremes.
You pick and choose.
Both sides.
You pick and choose for your own, for yourself, really, is the best way, but it can become more difficult to navigate when the employers get involved and take their stand. Well, I guess then you don't really have much of a choice to choose how to navigate. You're probably going to get boosted if Apple's telling you you're getting boosted.
Yeah, you're talking about, what, tens of thousands of workers?
I'm talking about, right? Tim Cook. If Tim tells you you're getting boosted,
he gives you the shot.
That's right. Personally. You're either getting boosted or you're hitting the road.
Yeah.
The Verge report on Saturday. Now, I'm sure there's probably some sort of exemptions in here for people, like very specific cases and things like this. Anyway, The Verge reported this on Saturday, citing an internal email starting January 24th. Unvaccinated employees or those who haven't submitted proof of vaccination will need negative COVID-19 tests. Okay, well, that doesn't necessarily demand the booster. We'll need negative tests to enter Apple workplaces, the report said. The Verge said it was not immediately clear if the testing requirements applies to both corporate and retail employees. Due to waning efficacy of the primary series of COVID-19 vaccines and the emergence of highly transmissible variants, this is true, Omicron, very transmissible. A booster shot is now part of staying up to date with your COVID-19 vaccination to protect against severe disease, the memo read, according to The Verge. So that seems to be the main discussion, is the severity of the disease that you're actually going to get depending on how boosted you are, and the fact that these initial shots seem to wear off maybe more rapidly than the general public was aware.
Sure.
It's like, oh, man. I'm getting old. Well, that, and that's the trouble,
a
because our familiarity with vaccines is that they're, at least the things that I'm aware of, I've had children recently, and a lot of these vaccines are not updated nearly that frequently. Now, obviously, it's totally different scenario, and the vaccine science is a little bit more advanced with some of those ones. Obviously, this one is emerging and changing and all the rest of it. Relatively fresh in the world of vaccines. But yeah, that's the trouble. Part of it, I think, is people thought they were getting something else than what they ended up with when they bought into the initial thing. And so then you have a little frustration that pops up over there. But yeah, definitely the efficacy, it has been plummeting, especially against this Omicron situation. This week, Facebook parent company Meta... Are they calling themselves Facebook parent? I guess so. I guess that's fair. They don't want to just say Meta because people would be wondering what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They mandated COVID-19 booster shots for all workers returning to offices. It also delayed U.S. office reopenings to March 28th. And then Alphabet Inc.'s Google on Friday said it was temporarily mandating weekly COVID-19 tests. Okay, so tests. I don't know. Maybe it should be an option. Maybe you either go test or you go boost or you go whatever other documentation. Options are a good thing here wherever possible, but it's going to continue to be a sticky situation, particularly at these big companies, particularly at these tech companies. You know, people got all kinds of ideas. It's going to continue to be tough situation. Today's episode brought to you by MeUndies. I'm wearing MeUndies. I wear it right now. It's one of the only sponsors I wear. Actually, there's a couple sponsors I wear, but this one I'm wearing, it's under my pants. It's MeUndies. It's super soft. Overhaul your underwear drawer. You can do it with style if you want something more unique and personal, or you can do it with the basics as far as the colors go. There's a bunch of varieties to choose from. You can become a member and save a bunch of money. Lots of sizes to choose from as well. Classic, bold, adventurous. For me, it's all about this, but they launched a bunch of other products too, including super soft pajama style pants, which you can't even feel it when it's on. It's lightweight. Oh, they got gifts for your loved ones on there. It's MeUndies. I mean, it's a no-brainer, and you know we got a promo and everything else. So fix up your underwear game. Get to it.
MeUndies has a great offer. For a limited time, get 25% off your first order of matching pairs for Valentine's Day. And as a first-time purchaser, you can also get 15% off and free shipping right to your door. To get 25% off matching pairs, 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/LouLater. That's MeUndies.com/LouLater.
Also sponsored by Stitch Fix. So since you're already stepping up your game here, you got to do it with the whole wardrobe. And this is a really unique, this is an innovative way of improving your fit and improving your style. The way this works, you're going to take a style quiz, and Stitch Fix is going to learn what you like. And you know me, I'm mostly into the active wear. I'm mostly into the comfy wear. And you look at this list of brands, we're talking top tier brands. There's two different ways to shop. You can partner with an expert stylist. The money you pay is credited towards whatever you choose to keep. And if you don't want to keep something, if you're like, hey, man, this one missed. This is a big miss right here. This ain't for me. Then you don't pay for it. You just send it back, and that's a wrap. So you get to try on lots of clothes, and you get to keep the stuff that's awesome. And you don't want to go out and go shopping. You don't even know what you want anyway, because it's like, it's hard to tell. So this lets you try it on, and we're talking all kinds of stuff from footwear to active stuff, comfy pants, jeans are on there if you need it, and the formal looks are on there if you're, maybe you're going back to work now, and you need some of those too. So you got to check this out. It's Stitch Fix.
Get started today by filling out your style quiz at stitchfix.com/LouLater. That's stitchfix.com/LouLater to try Stitch Fix Freestyle. stitchfix.com/LouLater.
Apple may have dropped built-in noise cancellation on the iPhone 13. That's weird. It's been a long-running accessibility feature on past iPhones. So we're talking about noise cancellation accessibility designed to reduce ambient noise on phone calls when you are holding the receiver to your ear. That's a cool feature that I didn't even know was in there. Phone noise cancellation is not available on iPhone 13 models, which is why you do not see this option in the accessibility settings. Apple support told one of 9to5 Mac's readers. When the reader asked for clarification, the support team confirmed that the feature is not supported. These questions initially came up on Reddit after the device went on sale, and readers noticed that it was no longer available on the accessibility page. Interesting. So it was using the camera microphone to detect and remove ambient noise. It seems like a feature you would want, but the fact that it wasn't really advertised or talked about as a feature.
And it seems like a feature that a lot of people would like to use, like automatically.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you publicize this? Why would you bury it in accessibility? Why would it only be, why wouldn't it be a thing that most people want to use? Maybe there is some kind of downside. I know when it comes to noise cancellation around, with other devices, it may increase battery consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there was a consideration there that if everyone was using it all the time, then there. But either way, it'd be nice to have the option.
Mm-hmm.
I presume they were able to, I don't know, maybe save some money by not implementing it. Apple has yet to confirm officially that the feature has been permanently removed. So far, the only word about it has come indirectly from Apple support. So, like, is it a hardware thing or a software thing? And will it ever come back?
It is interesting because I haven't used the previous iPhones, but I'm using the 13 and don't seem like there's any hitches with volume or clarity.
Yeah, I think you would have to be in a scenario with like maybe some wind going on.
Maybe.
And stuff like that. I mean, because this is not affecting This is not affecting what you're saying. It's what, or sorry, what you're hearing. It's what you're saying, or is it what you're saying and hearing both?
I think it's for the other side hearing.
That's it?
I think so.
So it's on just strictly on the microphone, not necessarily what you're having coming back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Apple's AirPods noise canceling earphones. Well, you can definitely buy the earphones from them. They'll sell you those.
Yeah. We should do a test or something.
Get an old iPhone and attempt to like blow a fan at it or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind
just
that.
Just get a fan.
We're good. Yeah. I think wind is the main one, but I guess there's all other types of rumbles and such you may be competing with. Samsung announces first smartphone chip with AMD ray tracing GPU. The Galaxy S22 could use AMD's RDNA 2 graphics tech. I've heard about this. Increasingly, smartphones become the gaming platform for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Exynos 2200, new in-house mobile processor for smartphones. First mobile system on a chip to include a GPU with AMD's RDNA 2 graphics architecture, enabling hardware accelerated ray tracing. Ray tracing on your phone.
Yeah, I still can't believe that.
You're not going to believe it till you see it. You want it in your hands. You'd be like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well, it's true because it's been a lot of talk about ray tracing and then not so much experiencing, you know what I mean? It's requiring so much so
computation
much resource
power
to be able to effectively experience and enjoy it. While still keeping your frame rates going. And
battery. That's an issue.
Battery will be interesting. Yeah. The collaboration with AMD has long been in the making. The two companies first announced a licensing deal in 2019. Then AMD confirmed last year that Samsung's next flagship mobile SoC would use RDNA 2. Samsung recently teased an announcement event. Who knows, man? Maybe if the Exynos is able to step up and increase its performance, then maybe people are going to be less upset when their region gets stuck with the Exynos chip on the S22 instead of the Snapdragon chip.
And maybe this is like the first time Samsung can really push their gaming smartphones somehow.
Lean into the gaming even more so.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Yeah, I mean, if it's true, you know they're going to be talking about at the event, upcoming event, right?
Yeah.
Tesla driver is charged with vehicular manslaughter after running a red light on autopilot. What a crazy story. Vehicular manslaughter. I guess this would... that's like, how can you, the car on autopilot, like this is the philosophical conundrum here that has been talked about in the past.
Like, whose fault is it?
The car makes a decision, and even though it's typically safe and some often even safer than a human driver, but a Tesla driver has been charged with two counts of vehicular manslaughter after running a red light on autopilot. And it's likely the first time a driver is charged with a felony for something that happened while using semi-autonomous driving features. The incident happened back in 2019 in Gardena, a suburb of Los Angeles, but it is now coming to light after legal documents revealed the charges filed last October. Well, there's one thing in and of itself. 2019, software is going to be different now than it was back then. Kevin George Aziz Riyad, a 27-year-old limousine driver, was using his Tesla Model S on autopilot when he ran a red light and crashed into a Honda Civic, killing the two occupants.
Yep.
An occupant in the Model S was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, so two killed, one hospitalized, and a year later, prosecutors have decided to file the charges of vehicular manslaughter. So it's important to note these are charges that have been filed at this point, but they're not. It's not a conviction, I guess. The use of autopilot was confirmed by an NHTSA highway traffic investigation into the crash, but it is not mentioned by the prosecutors as the driver is always responsible for the vehicle when behind the wheel, no matter what, you're going to be held accountable. So listen, when the car prompts you to pay attention, just remember that. Even if it's driving itself, I guess it's not a defense because the official rule here is you're in control, even when it's on autopilot.
Yeah, so you mentioned the name autopilot. We had a discussion before about
semi-autonomous. It.
Autopilot. Like the name itself is just so misleading, I find.
So it should be semi-autonomous.
Sure.
That's what you're happy with.
Yeah. It can't be autopilot. Come on now.
Well, the problem so autopilot autopilot is from pilots, from planes.
Yeah.
And they had no problem with it, you know, they pay attention. They still feel responsible, even if the equipment malfunctions. But I hear you. Do people truly understand their responsibility when they're using this technology? I don't know. I don't know if people truly understand it. But it is, it's a hybrid, you know. The human is still responsible ultimately for the giant metal, rolling metal box.
Yes.
They're taking on the streets, which is still a very potentially dangerous thing. So, but it'll be interesting to follow this and see exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Ford signs a 5-year agreement with Stripe to scale e-commerce.
Mm.
So I'm going to buy my next Ford online, right?
Yes.
With Stripe.
Yeah.
How can I send them that much cash, though? Ford plans to begin rolling out Stripe's technology in the second half of 2022, starting with North America, aims to roll out in Europe as well as later on. Last year, Stripe raised $600 million round at an evaluation of $95 billion. Stop. Stripe? Holy cow.
Yeah.
A lot of payments being processed over there. And the company said it will use that money to expand into Europe. Stripe will facilitate transactions for vehicle orders and reservations. So maybe it will be down payments. Maybe it will be automatic payments for
financing
or for lease. The tie-up with Stripe is part of Ford's larger Ford Plus restructuring plan, an electrification and growth strategy into which the company plans to invest $30 billion by 2025. Just becoming more modern. Well, being inspired by some of the newcomers in the space, where you just throw a few bucks down and all of a sudden you're buying cars.
Yeah.
Throw a few $100, pre-orders. I mean, feeling like, sort of more like the tech industry.
Yeah. I just had a terrifying idea of...
go ahead, Will.
If you're not able to pay Stripe in your car or something, your car kind of like malfunctions. Just kind of stops, like until you make a payment.
Easy. Holy cow.
You're like currently driving.
I don't know that the integration will be that to that extent.
I know. It's just I had a terrifying.
But I will say when I bought the Model S, it was a completely electronic experience, right? You're online and you order it and then
there's no money.
There's no money exchange.
Like, there's no briefcase of cash.
Even when you go to pay for it. It's bank information. You're just trying to wire transfer funds and things. I mean, I'm not talking about the down payment, but so it's like, it is a bit weird. You kind of need a slightly more streamlined payment processing. And I mean, maybe one day it's crypto, but in the meantime, these electronic payment platforms could definitely make it more seamless than like sharing bank details.
Yeah. You pay in your car, something like that? I don't know.
No, I mean, you could just, it would happen automatically.
Your
payments, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. They could have some sort of an interface, which is just a little bit more inviting, a little bit more making users a little bit more comfortable. But it's part of their electrification strategy. So it's going to be part of this whole movement towards, becoming more like Tesla and Rivian and all the rest of them. Ford patents a new pickup tailgate with a hidden door. Ooh, I love tailgate talk. There's been some innovative tailgates of recent.
Sure.
And some of which include the multi-tailgate, this one, on the Ram.
Yeah, this is a nice little
This is a cool idea. So, it's a beautiful GIF. So this one can open sort of like barn doors out. It can... go down like a typical tailgate, and then it splits. Maybe it's 60-40, maybe it's 65-35, whatever it is. It splits as well, so it's you can have one of the little doors, one of the doors open and not the other one. So this lets you open up the tailgate in a variety of situations, whatever happens to be convenient. Now, Ram calls that the multifunction tailgate. Then on the GM side, you had the one that had the step. It sort of had an extra tailgate within the tailgate. And then Ford has had this sort of handle you hold on to and this one singular step that comes down. And I know this because I've had F-Series trucks. I had a GM truck that had the other tailgate. The only one I haven't personally owned is the multifunction tailgate from Ram. But this is a new tailgate. A small fold-down bumper step can be used in conjunction with a side-hinged door. So
it's going to look much like this,
but
maybe not with like two parts. Maybe it's just one giant thing with two hinges.
So you can open it either way?
Yeah, down and like one side.
Okay, so
it's not like pull it this out. One.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I follow you. And then you would still have a step, which would sort of fit around where the hitch receiver is.
Yeah, tucked under the top of this door here.
Wow, so the tailgate wars continue. You got to pick the who is the champion of tailgates. There's a lot of people who still want the simplest tailgate possible, but I just find it fun to see them attempt to innovate and think of different ways that a tailgate could work. And I love trucks, so you know I'm down for it.
Sure.
This is enormous news. This is huge, this deal. It's one of the biggest media deals ever. I sent this to you as soon as the story broke. I was like, we got to talk about this. Microsoft is buying Activision. Blizzard, get out of here. What are you talking about? That, you know how big that company is? The deal, $70 billion. $70 billion. Titles the likes of, Call of Duty. World of Warcraft. Sort of some big titles.
Yeah.
There's a little more to the story, though. We're going to go over it. Some considerations here. First things first, there's been an Activision scandal going on.
Yes.
And what happened to me, accusations, sexual misconduct, lawsuits, a lawsuit already settled $18 million. It's getting expensive.
Uh-huh.
Questions about the CEO, things like this. What I started to think about is timing. Because when you have a scandal going on, any type of bad press, it makes a really good time for a change to completely shift the conversation.
And a good deal.
And you can. Somebody's going to catch a good deal. And shareholders are happy about it. And they're like, everyone's open to negotiation when it's raining. You know what I mean?
Of course.
When it's coming down. And so it got me thinking, because, you know, I'm a sports fan, and sometimes you would have an athlete on a team embroiled in some sort of controversy, which is sort of taking away from the team atmosphere. Mm. And it's not like he gets booted out of the league, but often a trade can result in a fresh start.
Yeah.
A fresh start.
Changes the team dynamic as well.
So the old team gets to move on. No longer have, and in this case it would be Activision, gets to move on and no longer be carrying that baggage of the negativity and the past and lawsuits and such. I mean, it's still there. I'm sure it will still go on, but it just kind of like as an overall overarching,
like a reset.
A motivator. Like, okay, cool. Things are changing. I mean, I don't know. I'm not inside. I don't really know. But it can behave in that way. And then also to become a part of something new to represent the ability to chart a new course and redefine what you are as a company. So what's going to happen from a management perspective, the CEO is still going to be there.
Bobby Kotick.
But Satya from Microsoft, he came in and said, there's going to be a lot of learning going on here. It'll be show you guys how to act.
Yeah, we don't like that frat mentality there. None of that.
We're going to be doing a lot of learning over here.
Yeah.
That's how Satya said it.
Cracks a whip.
I'm pretty sure that's the actual quote in there.
Okay. Yeah.
But then here's the key. So yes, he maintains his position, but he'll be reporting to the head of Microsoft Gaming. So the head of Xbox, essentially, Phil Spencer, right?
Yep.
So he's going to be reporting to him. So there is still somebody above there, and some people might like that buffer and so on. But anyways, $70 billion deal, or $69 billion is what they're saying right now. Last time you can think of a deal at this scale, when Disney paid around the same amount for Fox's movie studio and other assets, that's a big deal. I said Call of Duty and World of Warcraft. Don't forget Candy Crush, also part of the empire. Mm. Hey, man, there's money being made over there.
Yes.
Microsoft says there's 3 billion gamers around the world today, and the number is going to be 4.5 billion by 2030. Microsoft has been investing more and more into actual development, into actual game studios. What was the most recent one? It was Bethesda, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the whatever, the parent company. And then recently we had a merger. What was it? Zynga?
With Zynga, yes.
Zynga was bought by Take-Two anyway, or they were combined. So like there's a consolidation happening. It's in that article. The one that I'm talking about. If you scroll down, I'm sure we'll find it here. But there's a consolidation happening in gaming, and it's all happening alongside. Maybe put Take-Two in there. Put Grand Theft Auto in there. Maybe I'm combining things here. No, maybe it was a different article.
Okay. Well, you keep talking. I'll find it.
You keep looking, Will. Anyway, a consolidation happening in gaming as the world is starting to become aware of these terms, like things like metaverse, which was the word you threw back at me when I sent you the original. Take-Two stock down in wake of Zynga purchase. Okay. Oh, calm down. You got it, man. It's in there somewhere. Yeah, we're in the face of this potential. Now, regardless what you think of this whole thing, strapping goggles to your face and escaping reality as we know it. Take that out of the question for a second and just assume that that's going to happen because you have no damn choice because human beings always seem to select for these things. Mm. I'm not recommending you do. I go outdoors.
Sure.
I freeze my butt off over there by the outdoor hockey rink. So don't bring that to me. But
the metaverse has outdoors.
The fact of the matter is a lot of people staring at their phones. You know what else they're going to stare at? They're going to stare into their goggles, all right?
Yeah.
And everybody wants a piece of it. And in order to be a piece of it, you got to, I think, one of the first major things that people are going to do there is game. And when you purchase these franchises, this IP, and you let people plug into it in a new way, and you're able to consolidate and maybe attach it to certain features and hardware products, like let's say Xbox's first foray into some sort of metaverse play, into some sort of a headset play. And meanwhile, you have this whole catalog of product that can be enhanced through these experiences.
Especially the IPs.
That's what I'm saying.
Like Halo VR. Very cool.
Some people might get a little worried about something like this. They could say, well, wait a sec. Franchise like Call of Duty, what if, and I'm not saying Microsoft's going to do this. I don't think they should do this, but what if it goes Xbox exclusive?
Yeah.
Like that could be a huge deal.
Xbox PC.
See you later, Sony. It's not going to happen, by the way, because.
What, you don't think Call of Duty will be exclusive?
Absolutely not. No. No, because people are moving away from that style. Like Xbox has been, Microsoft has been putting so much energy and attention into the subscription services anyways. Mm. With the Game Pass stuff. You know, that's the eventual place that we go. I think it's just going to be a tighter integration for them with future products being so connected to the software. There could be enhancements or advantages to playing the games.
Yeah.
Alternative products.
Perks. Ecosystem.
You're saying more buzzwords now. You said word ecosystem. NFTs. Yeah. Oh my God.
He said it.
Oh my God. He said NFT. Anyway, go back to that article. I just want to make sure I covered off everything I wanted to talk about here. Let's see here. Maybe in the future you won't want to strap on a face goggles. Oh, here we go. They are now going to have to convince the government. They're going to have to convince Washington to approve this deal. Mm. Because when you have a merger like this, Will, this isn't like you buying a sandwich. All right?
No.
You don't buy a sandwich, you walk to the store, you make a deal, and the government doesn't get in your way. I mean, maybe they tax you. You want to buy Activision Blizzard?
They want some of that.
If you want to buy it, the government's going to need to take a look at it and say, hey, that's
70 bill?
They're going to say,
give me some of that.
There's too many zeros here, and these companies are kind of big, and we're going to need to get the antitrust take a look at that.
Right.
Here's the crazy part, okay? So this may or may not happen. The companies are confident it will happen. There's a clause inside of the deal that stipulates if the government shuts down the purchase, Microsoft will pay Activision $3 billion.
Hmm.
Just for the hassle. There it is. Oh, no. Scroll down a little bit further.
Oh.
It's $3 billion. I believe it's $3 billion. I want to make sure I got the right number. The deal has a $3 billion breakup fee. This is the cash Microsoft pays Activision if the merger gets stopped by regulators.
Wow.
So they got to go in there now and say, look, we're not the big bad Microsoft here. We're actually, when it comes to Xbox, we're second place. Sony's out there. Leave us alone. Nintendo's out there. It's not. Mm-hmm. Ain't no monopoly over here. They got to make this case in court.
Right.
Well, not in court. I don't, in front of regulators. To suggest that this merger is actually good for the industry and not bad for the industry. And they're willing to bet $3 billion on their ability to actually make that case. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to wait and see if it gets approved. You guys can let me know down in the comments what you think about this acquisition, how you think it will affect the games that you love, positively or negatively. I didn't see it coming, but everything's changing, man. All these buzzwords. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of buzzwords.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants a piece of it. Microsoft, part of it. Tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Sony has a wild new PS5 controller concept.
Yeah.
So it's not an actual product.
It's a patent.
It's a patent for an upcoming controller. Why don't you tell me why it is so innovative, Will?
So this... this controller specifically is designed for the thumbstick to actually press down. And for some reason, like, people get fatigued, I guess, with like long thumbsticks, like with the DualSense right now.
Mm.
So what this patent kind of solves is kind of less...
So it allows you to adjust the height
like
of the thumbstick.
Like more dexterity, yeah.
Well, there's a product called Control Freak, which kind of lets you do this, but you would have to put on a third party, like snap on a little adapter.
Okay.
I don't know if you recall. No, it's yeah, there you go. I think they spell it differently, so you don't just search up Control Freak, like what it means to be a Control Freak.
Right.
Anyway, these will let you pick your texture and your height, and then you can have it concave or convex.
Mm-hmm.
And some people find it to be a lot more comfortable to actually be a little bit higher up. But what you're talking about is going a little bit lower down.
Right. Yeah, it's going to depress.
Well, yeah.
Not the way that it depresses now, where it's like a click.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's actually, you know, more of like a force. Like it's analog.
So this will let you...
Or not analog, digital.
Select on the fly.
Pressure, yes.
Which height you like. So you could be getting fatigued at the higher height and then go lower, or does it compress each time?
It would be automatic.
Okay.
So I guess when you're pressing like at the top, when you're kind of like rolling up, it's kind of like the same plane, the same level, if that makes any sense. Whereas like it's not going all the way up to the top. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's kind of. But are you? Really it well. Seems like you're talking about a shock almost. Like, does it have a spring in it?
It does.
Yeah,
that's what I'm imagining right now.
So it's the whole thing.
It's like pressure.
Yeah, and then the whole thing is going to respond to the pressure being applied to it. So therefore, there's going to be a little bit less permanent resistance, which is maybe the reason that the thumb fatigues in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I mean, I would obviously, it's hard to say when you're just simply looking at a patent, but it is a... controller innovation. I mean, they've been sort of the same, and then all of a sudden they rumble, and then, you know, with the latest version they had the haptics on the triggers. Mm-hmm. So you feel resistance, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe on the thumbstick you could start to feel some of those things too, sort of an extra dimension.
Yeah.
What's this?
This is a really cool motorcycle.
Oh,
it's $120,000.
Wow. An electric motorcycle back from the dead and preparing for deliveries. Electric is probably quick too.
Yes.
This looks like it's from the future, obviously. That's why you selected it. It also, if I own this, I would be dead so fast.
Yeah. This is like the thrillest, like for the extremists.
Right.
Like it's called the Arc Vector. And they probably had like a lot of problems fulfilling.
Mm.
A lot of production issues, but now they're back on track. And man, here are some specs here.
Those fonts are so small.
I know, yeah.
And they're
stuff.
I can't even read them. You have to go one more time if I'm going to read it. Holy cow. Yeah. Okay. So the weight is 220 kilos, 0 to 100 in
3.2 seconds.
3.2 seconds, 0 to 100 kilometers. The range is 436 kilometers, a top speed of 200 kilometers an hour, and the charge time is 40 minutes.
40 minutes, yeah.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. I can't get one, but.
Well, you should.
No, I can't. Heads up display on the helmet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, they have their own helmet.
Yeah. I mean, I was, you can't help but be curious about electric motorcycles, like when you're going to start to see them more frequently. We've seen all types of electric vehicles, obviously electric cars and then like electric scooters and things like that. But oh, that takes a cool factor to another level. Look at all the carbon fiber on that thing. Look at the headlight on that thing.
There's a lot of different materials and just the design of
it. Yeah, it's like anime or Tokyo or whatever.
Why can't they give us like the full
picture?
Yeah.
They're being cryptic. They're being kind of cryptic with it. But I guess that's part of the article, Back from the Dead. I presume what's going on there is like they don't have a finished product yet, do they? The bike was unveiled in an ultra premium electric motorcycle back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. All signs pointed to the bike going into production by 2020, but just 4 short months later in October, disaster struck. They filed for bankruptcy. Oh my goodness gracious. This is
they ran out of money, which is not what you want to hear.
No, they blamed it on flaky investors. Anyway, they're back. I guess the love was, was enough to encourage them to stick with it, even in the face of that.
Yeah.
And now maybe this thing actually comes to life, and I can't promise I'll buy one of them, but man, if they get one they want to bring to the studio, I will for sure take a peek. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, I'll try to get one.
Take a peek. I'll tell you that. If you can get one right over there.
All
right. I'll cruise. I just won't go too fast.
Okay, yeah.
I'll just...
Yeah.
Nice and leisurely, man.
Sure, yeah.
Sunday driver.
Yeah.